Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, John, Juliana Miller coming up here momentarily as we attempt to get her on the phone. Give me your thoughts. Ric Flair's going to get back in the squared circle one more time.
Woo!
Him and his son-in-law taking on Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, Jeff Jarrett.
And I forget who the other guy's.
The NASCAR guy?
Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. Thoughts on the greatest of all time getting back in there?
He can do whatever he wants. He's earned it.
Ric Flair?
Yeah.
Yeah, let him do it.
It's a good if he's gonna send off or whatever it is. I don't want to see that.
I just hope. And again, I'm the guy that's always said, "Who am I? Who are we to say no more? You know, X BJ Penn shouldn't fight anymore.
Yeah,
this person shouldn't entertain anymore. I mean, they have a right to do it
for sure.
I'm just hoping that I'm not expecting the Ric Flair that I saw, you know, in the 80s.
Yeah,
of course. But I'd like to see the Ric Flair of the 2000s?
Yeah, Ric Flair is 70-something now?
At least.
Yeah,
does he still lose half his paycheck?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to see Dan Marino come try and throw a football. I don't.
But you know, Ric Flair may surprise us. He may do that same face plant that he was known for or where he flips over.
And
the place is going to go crazy.
I think why the wrestling is different is because people understand now that it's not.
Right, it's entertainment.
It's entertainment, right? So he can go on there and put on a show and it's going to be great and it's going to be nostalgic. But him coming back isn't the same as Stone Cold coming back or The Rock coming back or maybe Undertaker in a couple of years. It's like we know that you're not beating anybody up in there, right? And so, like, I think it'll still be entertaining.
And Dan Marino's throwing pizzas now, not footballs.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, Terry Bradshaw is like, I'm going to make a comeback. We'd be like, hey, man.
I don't want to see you take a hit.
I'm worried.
Did you see Terry Bradshaw's tweets?
No.
Did you see this?
He knows how to tweet.
He made me look normal. Because he went into a Walmart trying to purchase a bicycle for somebody, him and I think it was a son or son-in-law or somebody, and he couldn't get any help at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife went to go buy something as well, and it was a typical Walmart, and he's just blasting them. You know, go to Target, go to Best Buy, don't go to Walmart.
Anybody who's
I didn't say don't go to Walmart, just so you know.
If you've seen Terry Bradshaw on TV the last couple of years, you know he's a little senile.
We'll talk about when he was on Family Feud because he had the best. But on the phone with us right now, let's welcome back to the program Juliana Miller. Juju, how are you?
I am doing awesome. Happy to be here with you, Randy.
First and foremost, congratulations on the results of the most recent episode. How difficult was it to keep all of this, you know, quiet?
Easier than you think, you know. It's very exciting to know the outcome, but it's actually kind of exciting seeing the anticipation of all my friends and family.
And what are their thoughts, and I'm going to jump to the end and then we'll go back to the beginning. You know, what are their thoughts now, knowing that you're in the finals? They've got to be over the moon.
Yeah, I think everyone's really proud and excited, but I've actually received a lot more love for the way I carried myself and how I spoke on the show, even more so than winning the fight. I think I've got a lot of love for my character and just sharing my story, so that's really a blessing.
Absolutely, and if you remember, you know, we said that, you know, after the first episode that you were on. Last night, obviously, the final episode of season 30. I'm curious, how much time was in between fight one and fight two?
It was about 11 days. Yeah, 11 days. Just under 2 weeks.
Did you feel that's enough time for you to recover and get, you know, your body back and those kind of things? Or is it purposefully meant for it to be that intense to see who's, you know, the toughest and the, not, no pun intended, right? Or the toughest or the most, you know, mentally strong and that kind of thing?
Oh, man, not at all. And actually, now that I think of it, we're there five, fought the first two, four. So I fought a week later. I still had a black eye. My head was still ringing. I mean, my nose was still swollen. That's the thing about Ultimate Fighter is you want to fight first to have time to heal.
Yeah,
for sure. What was the call like? And, you know, I've talked to some of the other athletes in the past couple of weeks, and I've always said if I get my dream and go on Survivor and all that stuff, I don't want the phone call. I don't want to reconnect. I want to stay, you know, so I don't get emotional. What was the call like for you?
Oh, my God, incredible. I cannot believe I'm the only athlete that called a coach. Everyone else called a boyfriend or a family member. And that was really interesting to me. I'm like, how is your boyfriend or your sister going to help you win a fight? I called my coaches. They knew the lineup, and they were studying the whole time I was in there. And I knew that they would give me the motivation and drive needed. Obviously, everyone knows how close I am with my grandma, but being on the phone with her, I'm just going to miss her and be ready to get out of there. Instead, I called my coaches, and it left me hungry and ready for war.
Genius.
Yeah.
It was definitely a genius move. Now, I did screw up because I did want to start and introduce you and welcome back to the program, the jiu-jitsu player. Give me your thoughts when you saw that last night.
It was really exciting. You know, I'm glad that I got to show off my grappling. That was one of the things my coaches said in the interview. He said, let go of your grappling and just be you how you are in here. So I had a lot of fun with it. But more so than the grappling, I'm pretty proud of my striking. All the girls got together and talked about how I'm inexperienced and I'm not a good striker. Yet before we hit the ground, Caitlin's mouth was bloody. So it appears that I know how to punch a little too.
It does appear that way.
How does trash talk fare into your game? And, you know, I know there's a lot of talk when people are promoting the fight. When you guys get in the cage, in the octagon, how much trash talk goes on? Do you enjoy trash talk? Do you kind of see what people say and brush it off? Does it motivate you? Are you a big trash talker? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Quite the contrary. I'm actually one of the most respectful athletes that you could ever face across a cage. I pretty much keep to myself. With that being said, I'm going in there ready for war. If you underestimate the person across the cage, it won't work out well for you. And that's what people seem to do with me. They have no respect for my game or my hands, and then they end up getting messed up. Me, on the contrary, I'm always like, I'm honored to face you. I'm excited to share the octagon with you. You won't really hear any mean stuff coming out of my mouth. However, if somebody, you know, comes at me real mean, after the fact, I'll have a statement. So, for the most part, I enjoy being one of those respectable athletes. I find that it's a lot more meaningful to speak from the heart as to the things I've overcome and what I want to do, rather than to just call somebody a nerd and laugh in their face, because that didn't work out too well for Caitlin.
For sure. And, you know, that's what I'm used to, you know, going back to the beginning of the UFC in the country. And, you know, it was all about respect. And then, you know, over the past X amount of years, it's gotten into the more WWE stuff, the trash talk and stuff. So I do respect, you know, your game and what you have done. What was the best and what was the worst experience, per se, of being in the house during the season of Ultimate Fighter 30?
The absolute worst experience was definitely being locked in a house with no doors on the room. I was hardly ever able to sleep. Once athletes started losing, they would get drunk all night and just be loud and screaming. And people like me that were moving on, I wanted to sleep and focus and be ready for practice in the morning. And there was just no way to get away from them. I mean, there was times where I literally picked up my mattress and put it in the bathroom just so I could have a door. And then I would still smash my head between like five pillows to try to sleep. That was my least favorite experience. And my most favorite experience is exactly the same. It was the experience of being locked in that house with zero distractions and having all the incredible coaches around me. It was really cool to be able to focus and not worry about your phone or who's texting you or who's calling you, what's going on media. I mean, it really showed me how incredible of an athlete I can be when I'm fully present and focused.
What was your thoughts as we watched the show, you know, with both coaches getting to take the team out? My first thing was, how could, you know, Amanda take them to dinner when one person still had a fight? Now, again, it's reality, so that all of that could have happened after the fight. You know, I don't know. But what was the experience like going and seeing the Jabberwockies and the whole team hanging out?
Oh, man, the Jabberwockies was incredible. Juliana's head coach, Rick Little, he's actually been a fan of them forever. And on one of Juliana's UFC fights, he's like, I'm taking you out. She's like, no, I want to stay in the room and focus. And after that event, they ended up noticing her, and she fell in love with it, coming to realize that dancing, performing, fighting, it's all very similar, being in sync with your body and learning how to move to a rhythm. So it ended up being really huge. And ever since, she's been a huge fan. And for us to get to go out and do that, it was such a breath of relief to be out of that pressure cooker and just be able to hear some tunes. Oh, my gosh. I was screaming and dancing my life away. I loved it. And getting to talk to them after, a lot of them actually speak a lot about fighting through injuries. He's like, man, while we're dancing, sometimes we're on stage with torn knees, broken wrists, broken elbows. And in the beginning, the Jabberwockies only had five. Now there's about 15 or 20 that they're interchanging. But in the beginning, there wasn't very many of them, which means there were no breaks as they were on the up and coming, which really hit home to me because I'm like, man, I fight the day after tomorrow, there is zero breaks. I'm injured, Claire broke my nose, man. My whole body was hurt. I didn't have time to heal. And hearing them speak about just going out there and performing, regardless of how your body feels, was inspiring to me. And it was just a breath of relief. I'm so grateful we got to do that. And you know, you're right. With Team Nunez, they actually had two girls that were still cutting weight, which means they couldn't eat. They got to sit there and watch everybody eat. Well, they had to sit there and just pretend to be happy when they couldn't have any of that food. They got to smell all this delicious food. And, you know, I think that an experience is much more than a belonging. Although an action figure is cool, maybe they could sell it online. The experience of really team building and getting to dance and feel free for a second was tenfold the better option.
You know, and great story there. And but what I'm thinking is you're telling me from they went from five Jabberwockies to 20. Now you've got to fight through because if you give up that spot, now you're going to wait for somebody. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you have to fight through it even more when there's more of them because you want to stay out there and perform.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But it also goes to show that the harder you work, the more things build. Say one of them need a surgery and they're like, oh, I want a break. They finally have the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to perform in December. Where an Ultimate Fighter, as you're an up-and-comer, you can't say no to a fight or you're going to be cut from the UFC, you know. If I'm injured and I'm in the finale on August 6th, there's just nothing I can do about it. However, if I finally make it and I become a champion like Amanda Nunez or Juliana Pena and, you know, you have a fight in a month and you break your ankle, you can say, hey, this is broken. I need to reschedule. So it just goes to show that the more work and effort you put in, you can build upon something that will create an easier future for you. And that your hard work never goes to waste, that it's always worth it in the end.
Absolutely. Give me, what were your thoughts as you were walking to the cage? And again, we all know we saw the episode, you know, yesterday, but it was filmed, you know, weeks ago. As you're walking to the cage, you know what's on the line. Are you trying to think that? Are you trying to clear your head? What are you trying to think as you're walking to the cage?
As I walked to the cage, I was just living in the moment. I was feeling gratitude, and I was just channeling the best version of myself. As I walk out, I kind of like to get to a meditative state to prolong that adrenaline rush that's coming. Your heart starts beating really, really fast as the cage door closes. So I think you can often see in my walkouts, as I'm walking out, I will take a deep breath and I'll shut my eyes for a few steps leading up to the cage. I'll do it again. I'll pick up my hands in the air and breathe out as I go palm to palm in front of my chest. And this is just my way of reconnecting and speaking my affirmations in my head and channeling that belief in myself, because as you walk out and that cage door locks, it's really easy for doubts to rush through your brain. So being able to be secure in your own mind is one of the best things you could do.
Now the fight has started. We're watching the fight, but going back to when the fight happened, the fight has started. And let's be honest, and I'm not trying to downgrade, you know, your opponent, total domination in that fight. Anything like in the middle of the fight, like, God, this is going good.
You know, to be completely honest, until I watched that fight, I could barely remember what happened. I took a lot of damage when I was fighting Claire. My head was in a roller coaster, and I knew that once I got her down and started landing those elbows, she wanted to quit. I could tell by the look in her eyes as she walked back to her corner, and to be honest, I was hurt, and I just wanted to get the F out of there. I was ready to eat some food, have a cookie, and breathe. I didn't want to spend 15 minutes of war. So once we got to the ground, all I could think about is, come on, let's finish this and get out of here.
And you definitely did that. I was so happy watching it. I'm so happy for you, Juliana. Best of luck. I know we're going to talk again, you know, before the fight. I've personally taken care of the situation that you and I talked about. And I promise you that a box is going to be in the mail to you tomorrow.
Man, least the box is the least important. It's really cool to be able to be here with you and share my story. And for the people listening, this is something that I said on the episode, but what I truly believe, from nothing to something is a true statement. No matter where you are in life, you can always climb the hill to success, but it's going to be scary and it's going to be hard. But honestly, if I can do it, you can too. So find something you're passionate about and just go for it and shoot your shot, baby.
Awesome. Thank you. Let's talk again real soon.
Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
You as well. Juliana Miller in the finals, and I'm so happy. And you know, we talk about this all the time. You know, being in the media, you don't want to show, you know, and it's all equal. And, you know, especially when I become friends with two fighters, I hate it. But she has been so cool, you know, on every episode, in the two fights, the two times she came on the show. And I wish her nothing but the best. And I got to be honest, I hope she wins it.
I thought you were going to call her out for, like, using the word war. It's not war. It's sport.
Well, hey, if you're getting punched in the face, it's going to feel like war. I promise you that.
You know, in MMA, and I've always wondered this, and I don't know if Juliana's still on or not, game, sport. You know, we always call it, you know, you're the game, but it's a sport.
Mm-hmm.
So do we not call it a game? You know, baseball's a game. It's still a sport.
Yeah. I think it's both. I think it's both because it's still done in fun. The intent is not for anyone to die, you know. Like, I feel like it's a game and it's a sport.
Well, yeah, it's not the gladiators back in the Roman days.
Yeah, I think it's both. It's a game and it's a sport. But I'll be honest with you, there are plenty of times where I've been in football games and your body, literally, you're just like, I want this to be over. Everything hurts. I'm dehydrated. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. You're doing a 2-minute drill. You're 20 plays in, and I promise you, it feels like war. And then afterwards, when you wake up the next day, it feels like you were in a war.
To be a game, does it have to have a clock? Does it have to be like timed?
Well, golf, there's not a clock.
But
is that a sport? Is it really a sport?
I just wanted to say that yes, it is a sport because there is judges and it does have points. However, name any other sport that's not a martial art where you can just tap out and quit. Think about football. You're down 72-0. Are you just going to lay flat on the field and say, hey?
Caleb would absolutely lay down.
No, I would not. I would not because that is very, very, very embarrassing. But that's funny, yeah.
That is a great take.
100% it is a sport, but at the end of the day, when you're putting your body on your line and you can get split and cut open, it becomes a little more of a significance in your head, realizing if my knee gets broken bad enough, I'm never going to walk again. I might never carry my kids enough. If my retina is broken in half, how am I going to pay for my future? So it really does put you in a sense of war because now it's an extreme of your body on the line. But you are right. It is a sport, and some people view it as such. But then there's killers like myself that see it as war, and I'm about to fight a game player. So let's see how it turns out for the woman who thinks it's a sport versus the woman who's ready for war.
Or well, the difference was the difference of a game and sport, not sport and the war.
Yeah. So what?
See, I'm saying it's not necessarily.
What do you consider a game?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Because I'm thinking game and sport is the same thing. Okay, fine. Okay, I'll say it like this: game, sport is the generalization of like football is a sport, but I have a football game, right? So I have a game this Sunday. I'm playing the sport of football, but this certain match is the game I'm playing.
But see, I wouldn't call a fight a game. A fight is a fight. It's more than a game.
They call it the fight game, though. I've heard that said plenty of times. So, who knows?
Oh, who knows?
How about this? Why don't you step in the cage with me for two-minute rounds, and we'll see if you...
I'm not stepping in there. Caleb, I'm going to bow out right now.
6'6", 320.
Did you see what she did to the last person that stepped in there? How about you step in there?
I'll step in there. We're about the same
I'm a super heavyweight. Yeah, I can't. I'm disqualified.
It doesn't work. I've had the... I don't want to call it a pleasure because it wasn't a pleasure. I grappled with Matt Hughes for 5 minutes, and it wasn't pleasant. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. It was the longest 5 minutes. It felt like 3 days.
I've been choked out. I'm not doing that again. I'm good.
All good. All right, Joanna, we'll talk to you again soon. Let's hit this break, coming to you live from Tournament to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is LaDainian Thomas, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Buckle up!
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship returns to Tampa, live from the Florida State Fairgrounds on Saturday, July 23rd. In the main event, interim bantamweight gold is up for grabs as undefeated champ Jared Kid Gotti Grant puts the gold up against the educated hands of Reggie Barnett Jr. Plus, the unbeaten bare-knuckle sensation, Jomie Escoboza, knuckles up with the always dangerous Jared Warren. Get your tickets at BKFC.com.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for our 19th annual Tuxes and Tails. This Black Tie Gala will be hosted at the Tampa Convention Center on October 8th from 5:30 p.m. till midnight and will feature adoptable pets, a silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, an after party with cigars and dancing along the Riverwalk, and much more. Tickets and sponsorship are still available at www.tuxestailstampa.com. Come show your support for homeless animals in Tampa Bay while you dine and dance all night.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Antonio Holmes of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I don't know what that song was, but I was jamming to it. We are back. Kind of mellowed out all of a sudden.
Yeah.
After Juliana called you out.
Yeah, listen. Hey,
that's why he was.
I just want, if she's still listening, I was on your side.
She may be.
I was on your side.
Is that why you wear the glasses? Because like with the old adage, like, oh, she won't hit me because I have glasses on.
For sure. You don't hit somebody with glasses on.
Why? Why is that a rule?
Rude.
Why is that a rule? Is that an unwritten rule in life? You can't hit somebody with glasses on?
Yeah. You can't hit somebody with glasses on. You can't hit somebody who's not looking at you.
Can you shoot somebody on their back?
No, you can't do that either.
So you have to be like honorable. You have to like do like 10 paces.
Be like, hey, man.
The first one to shoot.
Hey, man.
Take
your glasses off. Let's fight.
Turn around and take your glasses off.
You know, girls take their earrings off before they fight.
Oh, they do.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a respect thing.
There's a courtesy. Like, they're disrobed. They're like,
it's an unwritten rule.
Glasses are expensive. Why are you going to break the glasses, too? Like, come on. You know what I mean?
I'm not getting in the middle of that one.
On Bonanza, how'd you guys settle things?
But I've already reached out to Juliana, and you know we're gonna try to get you and her. I would do it. I mean, not to throw punches.
Yeah.
But you know, I would grapple with
her
and stuff.
I'll grapple with her for sure.
Matter of fact, I'm going to invite her down to the Tampa Bay area.
Okay.
And I know she has first class, but I'm gonna try to hook her up a little bit with David Vieira.
I'm down.
I saw Ric Flair was grappling with Juliana Pena in a recent photo. I
love that he's so active, but I've seen a video of him doing wrestling stuff. It looks painful.
Well, it's soft. The mat isn't hard. It's not ground.
Is it painful to watch, or is it painful to watch because you've seen him, obviously, being who he is, some say, the greatest of all time? It's so different.
Both. I say both. Even like I watched a Dirk Nowitzki documentary. And you go watch him in year 10 and 12, and then watch him in year 19 and 20.
Sure.
He couldn't move. And he said that he was like, it was painful to run up and down the court. And you can see that it's painful to run up and down the court. Because there's, I see guys in the NFL, like, he has a quick burst and everything. And you see him in year 14 and 12, and it's like rickety. And like, I feel what you feel, because I can see that it hurts what you're doing, hurts your body.
So with that being said, like, football came from, you know, the gridiron, the grass fields, but now there's turf and there's different surfaces. Mm-hmm. Do you prefer which one? Like, is there one that's less painful? Is there one that feels better?
When I was younger, I loved turf because it's fast. You can get across.
Because it's a little rubber
pellets? It's not softer. No, it's not softer. Turf is harder. So when I was younger, I loved turf. You don't get, because the grass is, you never know. It's inconsistent. Some people have higher grass, some people have lower grass. Muddy, gets slippery, all these different things. Turf, but you know what you're going to get. By like year four in the NFL, if I play on turf, practice on turf, knees, hips, ankles are going to hurt for 3-4 days. Because there's no give. You know, like it's literally concrete and there's turf and then rubber pellets.
Would that be something you would consider? Like if you were going to go to a team or extend a contract based on like, how many home games you would have? Would it prolong your career if you played in different arenas versus?
Yeah, if you look at older players, they never go to Green Bay and they never go to Minnesota. Minnesota's indoor, but like they don't go to Chicago. They go to Tampa and they go to Miami and they go to California because it's warm weather, less issues with that stuff. There's not a lot of rain. Well, Florida there is, but like not. They want to go to better weather, better conditions. And turf has its pros and cons. If you play in a dome, less weather inclements, but you understand, hey, I put on a turf field. Hey, coach, I need a break on Wednesday. I'm not practicing on Wednesday. And you see that all the time with older guys, and like they find ways to take care of you.
I thought it was just because Florida's where people retire, Arizona.
No, no state taxes.
Once I get on the plane.
No state tax. So instead of – so this is like what – I don't feel like people don't understand this. Entertainment tax is 46%. If you add state tax on top of that, if you're in California and it's 12%, you're giving over half your check away.
Wow.
So somebody makes a million, they end up with $400,000.
what people don't realize, and I think we have addressed this before, you know, you could be playing here in Florida. Say you're playing for the Bucks, mm-hmm. okay, and then you go to California. You are taxed on that game.
Yes.
California tax. When the Buccaneers went to the Super Bowl in San Diego, they were taxed for playing in California.
Yes.
So, yes, you're saving, you know, half the time because you're playing in Florida, wherever, but you are paying the taxes of the state where you are playing.
You made money there.
What if you play in London? What if the game is in?
Yeah.
However they tax you there, you're getting taxed.
Like in the euro or in a different currency?
Yeah. I mean, they'll convert it for you. They're good at that. Yeah. They're good at that. They're going to get their money either way.
They might not convert on third down, but they'll convert your taxes.
It's the most sickening thing when you see your check and they always break it down like what they took out or anything like that. And they'd be like, oh, you were supposed to make $60,000 this week. And then you look down and it says 19.2. It's like, how did you get to this number? How did you take all this away?
So a rumor came out on social media today.
Okay.
That they will be announcing Ngannou versus Jones very shortly.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a great fight.
Hey, listen. The UFC has been on a roll with announcing fights. Oliveira and Islam.
Did you see what Oliveira said? Did you see what he said?
No, what he said?
He's willing to start the fight on the ground. He goes, I'm not scared to go to the ground with him. I'll start the fight on the ground.
You know what mind blows me? Somebody can go out and defend their championship and win and beat the people that are in front of them.
And they're the underdog?
Yeah. Yeah. And people just can't wait. Like, oh, this is the guy that's going to beat him.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I used to be like that because I used to be like, oh, I didn't understand how hard it was to be a consecutive champion until I got to the NFL. And I'm like, I had a greater appreciation for Tom Brady and what he had done and going to six Super Bowls, winning four. And I'm just like, I'm not betting against him. If he's in that big game, until he loses, I'll take a loss betting on Tom Brady.
I have a guy that I did the same thing. Every time Connor fought, he's going to lose this fight.
Yeah.
And every fight Connor won.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, why? What's? But people love to see the person on top go down,
right?
But it's just so crazy to me. There's like, oh yeah, Israel hasn't lost to anybody 185, but this is the one.
Yeah,
that's the one. I'm just like, what makes you think that? Everybody hated on Oliveira. He's a quitter, he's this, and they say, oh, Gaethje's gonna be the one, or Chandler's gonna be the one, and he just keeps winning. So up until he loses that belt,
for sure,
I'm gonna say he's gonna win. John Jones has not lost a fight in his career. Up until he loses, I don't care if you put Francis, Stipe, anybody in there. I have not seen him lose yet. I'm going with him.
I'm
going
to take that one step further. I'm not saying John Jones is going to win that fight because of that reason, because he hasn't lost. I think John Jones is going to win those fights.
Because he's a better fighter.
I think he's a better fighter.
I do too.
I think he beats Stipe very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ngannou is going to be a little more because of his knockout power.
Mm-hmm.
I think John takes him down, and I think John wins against either one of those guys.
I do too.
And I agree with you until he loses, you know, betting on him and such.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he wins the fight fairly easily.
And then it's like Islam hasn't been through the path that Oliveira has. He hasn't fought the same guys that he has and beaten those guys, right? And he's fighting guys that are unranked or ranked 10th or whatever it is, and nothing against them, but I'm fighting the best that they have to offer for the last 2 years. You know, like Stylebender is fighting the best that this sport has to offer for the last 4 or 5 years, and he's beaten all of them. And then you're just like, no, this is the guy. This is the one that's going to do
it. The one thing I want to throw out real quick is how much I respect Oliveira on how he handled all this.
Yes.
You know, he could have whined. He could have said things, and he didn't. He didn't say anything.
No.
He hasn't said one word. He goes out, and now, you know, continues
it's
on.
Awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. And I'm really – I like him a lot as a person. From what I know, from just watching him from afar, and almost more than I like him as a fighter, and I'm rooting for him.
Well, first off,
here comes something stupid.
Well, he doesn't have a translator, so we don't really know what he says.
How he carries himself.
Two, you're not a true champion until you defend your title.
He's done that.
Keep
defending him to round me up. Whatever.
John Jones lost to a DQ, which is the same thing as losing to a shoulder. It's a no contest.
No, it's not the same thing.
It's not a no contest.
It's not the same thing.
A disqualification. There's only losses, a disqualification.
He's correct. He didn't lose. But he didn't get beat. Fine. He hasn't gotten beat.
He got beat by Matt Hamill. The hammer.
No, he got beat by himself. But
I think
he didn't get beat.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to call it a loss, and he's still the greatest of all time, and he's still going to beat Stipe and or Ngannou or both in the same night.
I think so too. One of the best quotes ever was John Jones and DC, and he said, "Yeah, DC, I had cocaine and hookers one weekend, and yours the next."
It's crazy.
A great month.
And I think even though you said the UFC's on a roll and we didn't even talk about, you know, the Diaz is coming back.
I do want to talk about
that. I still think they need John Jones.
For sure.
Yes.
For sure. I think they do too. People like, man, like, he's just so spectacular. I just like, it's one of those things like everyone wants to see Tom Brady kind of walk away because you want more parity. But it's just like, it's such a beautiful thing to watch greatness and to watch somebody who's at the top of their game for so long. And like, he's been doing, he's a champion when he's 23. You know what I mean? Like, and what is he now? 35, 36? Ooh. John Jones. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's a long time to be on top and to be doing it at this level. But
I was just going to say, do you think now it's safer for John Jones to go to, and I'm being serious, I'm not being sarcastic, for him to now go to Vegas? You know, because I'm saying, well, because his brother's there now.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I don't, I'm just saying.
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those, I'm a big believer in knowing your demons and not putting yourself in position to
I understand that. Those demons. No, for sure. But you can get in the same trouble anywhere. I'm just saying now with the brother being there.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, like when I don't do anything when I go out of town, but I always say to my head, you know, I'm out of town. I'm all by myself. I can do whatever.
Yeah.
Well, now you can't because your brother's there.
Yeah.
You know, your niece and nephew or whoever's in the family's there. So.
What happens stays in Vegas? Or what happens if Vegas stays in Vegas?
I'll tell you stories off air, but I don't think it's going to be
that's the whole reason to go to Vegas. That was the point.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the return of John Jones.
Me neither. I'm going to be gassed.
That'll
up.
Be the biggest pay-per-view they've ever had.
I will be at that fight.
I will too.
Well, take me with you.
No, you're not going. And hopefully the rumor is later in the year and you'll be busy playing on a Sunday.
Yes, for sure. But, you know, we can catch that quick little flight right. After the game.
In and out.
You know, it's not going to start till midnight, so.
Brad Penny, who used to play for many teams, but he was with the Dodgers at the time, and he did it in New York, too. So he pitched for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and there was a jet on the runway, and they hauled ass to the airport, and they got to Vegas before the main event.
Yeah.
Him and a couple Dodgers.
Deion Sanders used to play baseball and football on the same day.
I know football players that play a game on Sunday and fly to Vegas after the game and have a good time in Vegas and fly back before meetings on Tuesday.
Well, but that's still, it's still Tuesday. I mean, here, whatever day it was. So it was same Saturday. Night. It would have had to have been Saturday. And then he had to fly back. But again, when you have a jet on the runway,
you can do a lot of things. A funny story. We're in college and we're doing college workouts. I went to school with P. Diddy's son and Snoop Dogg's son. P. Diddy's son, so there was like a NBA playoff game or something like that. The Knicks were playing. His dad was in New York. He's courtside at the Knicks game on Sunday night. The game ends like at midnight. We have workouts at 5:30 in the morning. So our strength coach had this whole thing, because we all saw him at courtside in the game, had this whole thing like, wow, you're going to miss workouts and not be here in the morning. And so he had this elaborate plan to like kind of show like this guy cares about himself, not the team, blah, 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 blah. Little does he know, his dad is P. Diddy, and he has a private jet.
Right.
So after the game was over, he hopped on his private jet, got to L.A., and was at workouts on time, early.
So he didn't even know that was his dad?
He knew it was his dad, but it just didn't register.
Okay.
That, like, I can do things that most people can't do. And so he had his picture up on all the screens, like, look at him at the game, and he doesn't care about the team. And he's like, I'm here. I'm at workouts. Workouts, what are you talking about? It was really funny. It was really, really funny because he looked really dumb. And it was just like, hey, sometimes you just got to let people do what they do.
I did that once, scalloping trip. I was in my limo. I had my chauffeur pick me up, drove me all the way to Homosassa. I was scalloping, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get the bacon inside the shell. Randy, if you have any tips on that. Well, I know you can't relate because you're not living the same lifestyle.
I want to know how you got to go scalloping.
There's a limo, guys.
You go scalloping. Caleb takes the fish I catch. I mean, I'm at the bottom of everything.
What fish have you caught?
We're trying to help you.
The one I speared.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
Okay, but that was fun.
We heard you have a fight come up against Danny Bottaducci. So we're trying to help you with your weight cut.
What? I'm going to go see Danny.
Well, here's the thing. I think we should all fight people that look like us. Like, he should fight Anthony. What's his name?
Anderson.
You should fight with the twisties. And then
listen.
With the twisties.
And Danny Bottaducci. And I'll fight
Bozo the Clown.
Anthony Anderson may look big, but that's not a big
guy. He's not.
That's
no,
not a big guy.
He's very short.
Very short.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a big guy. He doesn't want the smoke. Great actor. I love his movies, you know, real good, but he doesn't want this.
What movies has he been in?
A bunch.
Barbershop?
Yeah, he was in Barbershop. There was some that I can't remember the name of.
I'm not being smart. You know, I don't watch movies, so I don't know what it
would be. Some old school ones. He was in Beverly Hills.
Cop?
No.
Beverly Hills.
Jeez, with the white guy who acted like he was a rapper and...
Oh, Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Jamie Kennedy.
There we go.
Don't know any of it. All right. Luckily, break time. Movie time, break time. Our final break of the afternoon. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Bill Rancic from The Apprentice, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, and you're fired.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Buckle up!
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship returns to Tampa, live from the Florida State Fairgrounds on Saturday, July 23rd. In the main event, interim bantamweight gold is up for grabs as undefeated champ Jared Kid Gotti Grant puts the gold up against the educated hands of Reggie Barnett Jr. Plus, the unbeaten bare-knuckle sensation, Jomie Escobosa, knuckles up with the always dangerous Jared Warren. Get your tickets at BKFC.com.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
I'm Kevin Hazlett. As a prosecutor, I faced down human traffickers and drug cartels. I was threatened, even followed. But you can't seek justice if you're looking over your shoulder. In Congress, I won't be intimidated by the left or open border Republicans. The Washington cartel wants amnesty. I'll say no. They do nothing as fentanyl floods our streets. I'll fight to finish the wall. The cartels won't like this ad. I'm Kevin Hazlett, and that's why I approved it.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Ron Duguay from formerly New York Rangers, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
That's definitely old school. Ron Duguay.
Get you some new music. Get you a little something. Spice it, jazz it up a little bit. Have you heard the Undisputed?
No.
Okay. It's the intro music they have. Lil Wayne did it. You know, it's not. It's you know, jazz it up a little bit.
Hey, whatever.
Okay. Thoughts on this?
You said Lil Wayne like you know who that is.
Yeah, right.
Like Bruce Wayne?
No. Who's the dude the house is on fire, the roof is on fire?
You asked me this before. Nelly, I think. Yeah,
no, it's not. I don't think it's Nelly.
The roof is on fire.
Yeah, I saw that guy in Vegas.
I want to say Nelly.
I thought it was Lil Wayne.
No. Lil Wayne, no.
I know it's not Nelly.
Well, he had a song called The Fireman.
No,
yeah,
this
we had Fireman. T-Pain?
No, I don't think so.
Pitbull?
I don't know. Okay. I did one of those stupid with my family, you know, the table at the nightclub. And
it's a great
VIP.
Time.
VIP.
Yeah.
It was awful.
What?
It was awful.
Wow, it's a great time.
You were in the wrong section.
You know, the fist fight was cool.
You didn't drink enough.
I didn't drink at all.
Yeah, that's
were
why.
You with Jack, were you with Jack Harlow?
If you,
he shares a section
if
with the Cardinals.
If you go to a club and you don't drink... It is one of, it's interesting for the first, maybe the last hour when you see everybody drunk and how they're acting.
Right.
That's kind of interesting, but you're not going to have a good time.
No, it was awful.
It's the music is too loud. People are touching you, stepping on your shoes, doing everything like that.
Well, that didn't happen because my brother bought a table.
Even what you're doing.
There was four people in there.
Okay.
You know, so we were fine. The funny thing is, and I know you got something you want to talk about. So the whatever they're called, you know, your
model girl.
Okay. Ushers. Well, I think it was higher up than, you know, like, you know, when you're a big roller, you have that person.
Yeah, bottle girl.
A bottle girl. Okay.
That's what they're called. Because the people in Gen Pop don't have bottle girls. They walk to the bar and order a drink.
Yeah, they got
to
buy their own drinks.
Yeah.
They tried to, you know, there's one of those red ropes between the two tables.
Mm-hmm.
So the table to the right had like 412 people in it.
Yeah.
And ours
they did it right.
Had six. And so they're like, hey, can we take this rope down? My brother's like, no.
Yeah, no.
Then, well, do you mind if we push it over a little bit? And my brother was like, no.
Nope.
That's when it started to get exciting. So
I'm with your brother, though. Like, no, you paid for your section. Yeah. So if you want, buy another section.
Oh, my brother was. So the girl came and almost got in a fist fight.
Yeah.
You know, with they're like, no, this is here. And
girls fight in the club pretty often. It's a common occurrence for multiple reasons.
It was. But whoever sings that something's on fire, the roof's on fire.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
We're going to get to the bottom of this.
I'll find out before the end of the show.
Okay.
All right.
While you're doing some research,
DJ Tony's here. He should. Who sings "The Roof Is on Fire"? Old school players.
Oh, not the original, the sample one that everybody knows.
Yeah, the good one.
It's not
Nelly.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. You're right. Yep. Okay, maybe he's right then. Old school players.
The roof is on fire.
Okay, you're right. I'm not going to argue with DJ Tony.
DJ Tony, he knows all the rap songs.
Okay, so there's been a lot of talk about Nate Diaz is being fed to Khamzat.
Yeah.
Right? That he has no chance and blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Dana's kind of mad at him. He's like, okay, go fight this monster so he can kind of put you out your misery.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's what's going on? Because I don't think Nate Diaz is a chump by any means necessary. And he's not a guy. I don't know if he's ever gotten knocked out. Has he?
I don't think so.
Right? So yeah, I don't I don't see him going to get washed.
I think typical of any organization,
mm-hmm.
you know, UFC, BKFC, Bellator, whatever, they always want to give the toughest possible fight if it's your last fight.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily want you to win if you're leaving.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes sense. So this is going to be a tough fight.
For sure.
But it's still a Diaz.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't bet against him.
At all.
And I think it'll be an exciting fight because it's Diaz.
Yeah. I agree. I agree.
I mean, but they said that about Frankie Edgar. I mean, he would never have been knocked out, and then he got kicked.
I mean,
in the
it
face.
Happens. But just this idea that, like, oh, you know, Nate is towards the end of his run. Khamzat's just going to wash him. Khamzat's a really good fighter. Yeah. Has a chance to be great.
Yep.
But they said he was going to wash Gilbert Burns, and he's going to smoke everybody. Almost, what was it, 6 months ago, they were like, oh, Stylebender has no chance. Usman has no chance. And then he goes and fights Burns, and they're like, okay, well, this guy is human. So I just think sometimes people need just to pump the hype train a little bit, pump the brakes, and see people develop and get better, and don't be in such a rush to crown somebody next thing.
But that's what they do all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I've always said, you know, who have you fought? Who have you fought?
Yeah.
You know, Diaz in this particular case, or, you know, Oliveira in his case, look at who he's fought.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking about champions, look at who Usman's beat
mm-hmm.
compared to who somebody else's beat.
Yep.
The former Habib. Number one pound-for-pound guy.
Habib. I mean, who did Habib really beat?
Well, and honestly, that's why I've never ranked him at the top.
No. Ally Akinta, honestly, number 10?
I say Habib is top five UFC fighters of all time. But I'm not saying he's anywhere close to the number one.
Yeah, he's definitely not number one, and I would have to really think if he is top five.
I don't think he's top five.
You know, because again, yes, you're undefeated, and you can't hold him responsible for who he beat.
Definitely not.
You can only beat who they're giving you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going of all time, look at who he beat. I don't think GSP beat a whole lot of, you know, great fighters. Let's be honest. Matt Hughes didn't beat a whole lot of great fighters. He beat who was there.
Yep. Yeah.
But if you look at who he beat compared to who Usman's beat,
yeah,
you know, it's not even close.
Yeah,
you know, and you know my fondness for Matt, but compare who he beat to the list of killers.
I think it's
that Usman did.
There's a contrast or like a little tight where people walk between romanticizing the old school people and being like, well, you know, this guy was dominant in this time back in the day, and being a prisoner of the present, whatever that thing's called. Did I say that right? Prisoner of the moment. Prisoner of the moment, right? You know, like whoever retires next, who was a great fighter.
What have you done for me lately?
He's the best of all time.
Right.
It's just like, hey, like look at resumes, look at championship defenses. Look at how many times somebody was in a five-round fight. Like John Jones, for me, my greatest of all time. His last 18 fights have been five-round fights. You know what I mean? So you got to take all those things into account and then take into account the old school guys and then see who they beat and stuff like that.
So let me ask you this, and I have said that I think John Jones is the greatest of all time, okay? But do you take something away from that fight with Dominic Reyes? You know, I've said from the time I saw the fight that John Jones lost that fight.
Yeah.
I wasn't a referee. At least two of the three, if not all three, said John Jones won. Does that swayed, you know, on the record, on the GOAT, if your opinion is one thing, but the only opinion that matters are the judges, was a different.
What do you think about the tuck rule?
The tuck rule?
Yeah. Tom Brady got hit, fumbled, you know, whatever. What happened? He won the game, right?
Yeah.
All right, then. So we leave it at that. He won a Super Bowl.
I thought.
So it's like, just shut up.
I thought Jones lost the Gustafson fight, like, you know, more than the Reyes fight. I thought.
Yeah, see, I think the other way around.
Yeah, I don't think that was. It was a good fight.
The first
I don't think he lost that fight at all. I think he did more damage.
It was definitely a close fight, but to damage. Say that was closer than. I mean, Reyes won the fight.
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree Reyes won?
Nope.
Oh, I think Reyes won. Pretty soundly.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Those glasses, but again,
get in the ring with Juliana Miller. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Take your glasses off.
I put a high amount percentage on kicks. I put a high, like, I'm not as big on like takedowns if you're not keeping somebody there. But John Jones does great takedowns and does a lot of ground and pound and does a lot of damage to people. And those kicks, man, like those are significant strikes. Like DC had an interview last week when they were like, hey, like, what's a moment that you were in a fight and you were like, oh my God, like, this dude just hit me really hard. He goes, not a lot of guys punch really hard, but he goes, John kicked me in the stomach and I was like, F, I have to get away from this guy. I can't let him get close. Like, those things are significant damage.
Sure.
When people are kicking your legs, people are like, oh, he didn't get punched in the face, didn't get taken down. Doesn't matter. Like, that stuff matters.
No. And again, I am a judge in Florida.
Yeah.
I look at all of that stuff.
Yeah.
What about John Jones? Was it Phil Davis?
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought Jones almost lost that. If he would have tapped that arm bar, I mean, his will.
If my dad had breasts, he'd be my mom. Yeah. I mean, you can't say if he wouldn't have.
He picked the dude up and slammed him.
I thought that was Jones's closest, like, almost losing, you know, his perfect record. I thought that was his closest fight.
I'm going to say the closest fight was the one I thought he lost to Dominic Reyes.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know of any media person that was in the back, you know, when we did the press conference and anything, that thought John won that fight.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't matter what we thought.
Judges.
You know, it's the judges. Mm-hmm. And John won the fight. And I can't wait to see him fight Ngannou and Stipe in the same night. They're gonna do a tournament. And he's going to win them both.
That's Hoist Gracie days, right? They fight five times in a night.
Yeah, Mark Coleman style. Days. It's, you know, anybody early. You know,
should they bring that back? I mean, they just did, I guess, with the Ultimate Fighter.
Well, no, and no, it's really not the same because it was still a week. It was still days in between. The tournament was the same night.
Oh, my gosh. I missed last week, obviously. Jiří Procházka but he said he wants his next fight to be a rematch with
Sure.
Teixeira, right? What are your thoughts on that? Some people said he's taking the easy way out, but he says it was a really close fight. I think he deserves the rematch. I didn't have a good performance. I want to run that back.
I think what the UFC will decide is, do they want Teixeira to have the fight?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not now, it'll never be again.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I don't think you can ever do it again.
Yeah.
No.
It was a close enough fight. That some say, you know, I think the scorecard said he was winning.
Up until he choked him out.
Yeah. You know, that's like Joe has said that Chael Sonnen has won every round except for the ones he lost.
Yeah.
You know, which is true. But, you know, yeah, is it the easy way out? Man, who else would you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just so not excited about that division.
Yeah. There's a couple guys in there.
Yeah, like bring John Jones back.
Yeah, there's a couple guys in there, but I think I don't know. I like his thought process and mentality of being like, hey, like I want to maybe like prove myself to myself or whatever it is. Like he didn't feel good about how he got it.
Sure.
So I understand where he's coming from, but I also understand the UFC and one of those things where it's like, are we going to be able to sell this to fans again? Are we going to be able to whatever? So it was interesting for me. I just wanted to get your take.
I don't know if it matters, you know, who. Can they sell the fight?
Yeah. Because I feel like people really weren't like, that excited for that fight. It just turned out to be one of the best fights ever in the division.
And it was Little John.
It was Little John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Little John.
It was Little John.
Wow.
How about me even knowing that? That's even more.
You know, Little John used to have an energy drink called Crunk.
Crunk juice.
Crunk juice.
I don't know if it was an energy drink or just an alcohol mix.
No, it was I sold the cans. It was like Red Bull's competitor back in the day.
Huh.
It was Speed Stacker 2.
Just so that we can move on quickly, is there any fight in the light heavyweight division that would interest you more than others? When you said, can they sell Teixeira?
Yeah.
I don't know if they can sell anything.
Yeah. Man, just because for me, how unorthodox Yuri is as a fighter, I think if he's a champion, you can sell him to fans. Now, the competitors that he's fighting against, I don't know, but I think you can push him, not push.
Yeah, sell okay, him to fans. So, but can you sell him and not the opponent? You know, can you sell the fight, it just being one way? I mean, like you could with John Jones. John Jones is doesn't matter who he fights.
Yeah, I think you can, because, I mean, what do people really want to see Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman fight again?
No.
No? But sell Usman.
But the same people don't want to see Usman fight either. You know, let's be honest. Again, you know Usman. You know, to me, it's Kamaru. He's the best.
Amazing.
But, you know, people love to complain and bitch, and I don't want to see Usman fight, and it doesn't matter
and
who he fights.
Stitch. Complaining Stitch. That's what you said, right?
Do I?
You said Stitch.
I said, yeah, sure.
Okay. You always get me, so I owed you one.
Okay, yeah, I said Stitch.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, when did Stitch come back? And, you know, he's the cut man. I didn't know that he came back to the UFC. So BKFC on Saturday, we'll all be out there. Should be some interesting fights. I just found out Julian Lane's on the card.
Is Platinum Mike on that card?
No, he's in London.
London, okay.
Allegedly, I'll be there. We'll find out.
Yeah.
So good stuff. Anything in closing?
I'll be there Saturday night. Check me out on TV. The only time I watch TV when I'm on the red corner. BKFC.
Anything in closing?
Nah, man.
Real quick, you brought a bag. We're going to go through. Do you know what's in it?
Yeah. It's Catonia Bread Mix. It's a keto company. They make great products, pastas, lots of different things. They're up and coming. I've tried their products. They're amazing. I've been keto for a couple of years now. Really, really helped me get ready for the off season. Really, really helped me get right. Check them out. We'll have more information on that for you in the future.
And we'll do that next week. See everybody out at BKFC. We have some tickets to give away. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio. See everybody next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.